Today we start a five-part series on the Lord's Prayer. And so my hope is that in the next 5 weeks or so that you reacquaint yourselves with this prayer and maybe even fall in love with the Lord's Prayer. That it might become something you cannot live without. And so I want you to pause and think for just 5 or 10 seconds or so. When did you first encounter the Lord's Prayer? When did you first memorize the Lord's Prayer? What is it like to live with or without the Lord's Prayer? I grew up at First Baptist Lethbridge, and the Lord's Prayer was a part of the liturgy where we had something called the pastoral prayer. And I don't know if you remember the pastoral prayer, but the pastor would always get up and he'd just go on forever. And as an 8 or 9 year old, I can just remember always thinking that I entered some time warp during pastoral prayer time because it just seemed to go on forever. But there was always this segue line that woke me up. And the pastor would go on and on and on about all the prayers. And then he would say, "And Lord, we pray the prayer you taught us to pray." And I don't know if other people woke up then too. But then all in unison, we'd pray the Lord's Prayer. And I can remember that just being a real good part of my life. That Lord's Prayer and memorizing it and feeling like I could be in a prayer with other people on a Sunday morning. And then, interestingly enough, in my junior high years, our school principal, every morning at the announcement time, would lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Like, did anyone grow up with that junior high school experience in a public school? Yeah, remember back then? And we look back at that now and go, wow, that was kind of fascinating that every morning we would say the Lord's Prayer together. But then after junior high, the Lord's Prayer was gone from my life. I was thinking about that this week. From 1984 to 2008, like 24 years, I didn't feel like the Lord's Prayer was a part of my life because I wasn't in a worshiping congregation that had the Lord's Prayer as part of their liturgy every morning. And so when I came to First Baptist Church Edmonton, I became reacquainted with the Lord's Prayer. And I think some of you have that similar story because I've heard some of you share in the past few years how you appreciate the Lord's Prayer as being a part of our weekly liturgy. So for 5 weeks, let's reacquaint ourselves with this prayer that we say week after week in our morning worship. But today, we're just going to focus on the opening words and the first petition. In the middle of Jesus' famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he talks for several chapters in the Gospel of Matthew about this way of being in the world. And it's interesting that the Lord's Prayer finds itself smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Even if you measure out the verses that are before the prayer and the verses that are after, it's pretty similar. And so it's like Jesus was talking about this way of being in the world, the Beatitudes, this Jesus way. And then in the last half of the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about how we might live that Jesus way in the world. But smack dab in the middle, it was like Jesus said, "You won't be able to do this unless you're in relationship with me and the Father." And so in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his disciples, his hearers, his followers, how to pray. And so Jesus begins this way, "Our Father." And it's interesting that right from the get-go, Jesus implies or is saying that this is going to be a we movement, not a me movement. He doesn't say my Father or your Father, but in this prayer, and it's the only time that he addresses Father with that our approach in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Our Father." And so right from the get-go, we realize that this is going to be a community prayer. It's going to be us as the people of God praying to the community of God who lives, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Our Father. Now, it's that second word that might cause a few of us to stumble. One of our theological professors at Cary Theological College wrote her whole doctoral dissertation on re-imaging God. And she was working with women who had encountered abuse in their lives and had a hard time imaging God as Father. And so she encouraged them to re-image God as shepherd or as comforter or as companion versus Father. And so some of us might need to do that as we try to live deeper into this prayer. At the same time, we believe in a healing God. And even this morning in the healing liturgy, maybe part of our prayer would be to heal our image of God, that we might be able to see God as this loving Father, a Father who dearly loves us and calls us beloved children, beloved daughters, beloved sons, a God who is continually wooing us, desiring to nurture us in the most pure and beautiful way of the Father's heart, Our Father. The next address is, Who art in heaven? This parenting God that we pray to as God's beloved children dwells in heaven. And this isn't this pie in the sky, God is watching us from a distance heaven, but it's a God who is everywhere. And the Greek phrasing here is interesting in that it's the God who is in all the skies. So it's not heaven as in singular, but it's a God who's in all the heavens, in all the skies. This is the God who lives in the plural. And so when we say God, our Father, who art in heaven, we're not just saying God who's in this little piece of our world here in Edmonton, or even in this city, or even in this nation, but we're saying the God, our Father, who art in heaven, who lives over all the earth, the God of all the skies, the God who hears from all of his children. And I think that's another thing that I've grown to appreciate about the Lord's Prayer, that if there are a billion Christians in the world praying, that at any moment in time when I pray the Lord's Prayer, there's got to be another Christian uttering that prayer with me. Have you ever thought that? Isn't that amazing? And if that's not enough, I was reading the theologian Stanley Hauerwas this week, and he talked about the Lord's Prayer saying, and we pray with the whole communion of saints who surround the Father in heaven. So not only do we join with the saints on earth, but we join with the saints in heaven who must continue this prayer to God the Father. Hallowed be thy name. After Jesus teaches of this opening address, he teaches us the first petition, Holy be your name. And that's simply a prayer where we as the people of God say, God, you are holy and lifted up. The God of all the skies, the God of all the nations, to be lifted up in our worship, in our prayer, with our lives as we put God on display. Reading Frederick Bruner, the theologian, this week, he rephrased this petition this way. Please make your identity known so that we and others will recognize you as you really are. Please make your identity known so that we and others will recognize you as you really are. And so even as we pray this morning, as we enter an intentional time of prayer for healing, and perhaps some of you may choose to come forward to the bowl of water or come forward to the stations where we will anoint you with oil, may we receive these gifts from God. May we understand that God, the heart of the Father, wants God's identity to be known to us, so that we might share that hope and that healing, that who God isness with others. Make your real identity known to us, Lord, so that we might make your identity known to others. As we participate in this healing liturgy today, we are praying that God's holy and whole presence might move amongst us, and that God might be known to us, yes, but also through us be known to all of God's children under all the skies, even to the ends of the earth. And so as we enter this time of prayer and healing today, I want you to simply pray the opening phrases of the Lord's Prayer. That opening phrase, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I want you to pray that slowly, allowing God the Father to speak to you, allowing the identity of God maybe even to be known to you as you pray that prayer, and beginning the work of healing that we're praying might continue to happen as we pray together as a community of faith today. So just the first phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we're going to say that three times together and enter into a time of silence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.